Okay, our next presentation is field trial of synthetic gear lubricants in electric wheel motors, oil analysis, data interpretation, and contamination management. The presenter is Don Howard. He is the new product innovation person for Bel-Ray's mining division. And Don will provide detailed interpretation of analytical data generated during a two-year field trial of an ISO VG synthetic gear lubricant in 16 AC electric wheel motors. Please welcome Don.
Title, as Steve said, of my presentation is a field trial of synthetic gear lubricants in electric wheel motors. What we're going to look at is elemental information, particularly iron content. We're going to look at the analysis for iron in a couple of different ways, and we're going to try to relate them. We're also going to look at some basic contamination information. We ran the test in 16 wheel motors in mid-sized haul trucks. The test was actually performed in Australia. The characteristics of the test oil included: it was an ISO 680 standard for the OEM. It had a viscosity index of 167. PAO and ester based. It had a 100-pound Timken OK load. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Timken is a method of measuring the load carrying capacity of an oil. And the test consists of a steel block through a lever system pressed up against a rotating ring. And the applied load is hanging from the lever system. Pressures of up to 50 or 55,000 pounds can be created using this test. So it's a significant test. It's a good indicator of potential performance. The oil is also compounded with a micro-pitting protection package, which these days micro-pitting is sort of the buzzword for root cause analysis of gear failures. We cleaned the oil during manufacturing to a 16, 14, 11 level, and we have copper strip pass and rust pass. Performance criteria. According to the OEM, they wanted the oil changed initially at 500 hours and every 3,000 hours thereafter. We actually found through field experience that we could filter the oil every 1,000 hours and still not maintain the cleanliness that was necessary. As far as testing the oil, we're looking at an elemental analysis by ICP with trending. That's required by the OEM. We added particle quantifier analysis, which is another way of looking at magnetic particles, the total magnetic particle count. Viscosity is always important. We're looking at by infrared analysis, and we're expecting at the time of the samples being taken and the filtration interval, we're looking at the oil for signs of foaming, which is a problem during as far as creating micro dieseling and effects like that. We also did particle count. As I said, it was extremely difficult in this application, this environment, to get really good effective filtration, and that was for a number of reasons. We never pinpointed exactly what the problem was, but it could range from anything from sampling techniques to bottle certifications, any number of things. I personally think the biggest problem we had in maintaining cleanliness was the fact that when these trucks were brought in for their service day, we may have had 45 minutes to filter the oil. We may have had 0 minutes to filter the oil. And we had calculated for these units that theoretically to clean an oil, you have to have 7 or 8 passes of the volume of oil through that filter unit to filter the total volume one time. And most of the time, we weren't given the time to do that. Of course, a truck that's not operating is not producing money. At the beginning of the test and every 5,000 hours thereafter, we had to do a sun pinion diameter over pins measurement. And the OEM also had criteria that we had to meet there. The OEM standard for the test was 0 failures in 12 wheel motor years. test had to run for a minimum of 1 year, regardless of how many wheel motors you had. Failure included any sort of gear or bearing stress that couldn't be readily explained, or was due to lubrication, and this would include polishing, spalling. Today they refer to spalling as macro kitting, and scoring. In addition to the elemental analysis and levels and training, the sun pinion diameter over pin could not exceed 64 ten-thousandths of an inch. We had a lot of contamination concerns in this environment. It's an extremely dusty mine in the north of Australia. So we were concerned about total number of particles, the morphology of the particles, the composition of the particles. Basically, we're looking at air induct abrasives, which would be represented primarily by silicon and aluminum, in a lockstep combination of 3.4 parts silicon to one part of aluminum. Of course, when you have these elements at low levels, they become more and more difficult to detect. So you may see silicon present, but no aluminum. Regardless of not being in the lockstep combination, if you have wear occurring and high silicon content, it's even a moderate silicon content, it's a fairly good bet that the wear is abrasive. Just as a point of interest, according to Noria, if you multiply your silicon content in parts per million times 3.6, that gives you your total dirt content of the unit. Like the speakers before me, we did our filtration. They spoke about filtration, filter parts, things like this. It was a filter part. It was designed and manufactured locally. The filter cart was pump-equipped, heater-equipped, at 10-micron absolute elements, which is not adequate for this application. Contamination remained a problem for us. And we had quick connects to form our loop. It's another close-up of the connections. We had a problem taking samples that we attributed possibly to bottle contamination. It's, again, extremely dusty. You open these bottles to the environment, they're almost immediately contaminated with an excessive amount of abrasives, which makes your elemental analysis misleading, incorrect, and really hard to move forward with in a project like we were running here. So we designed an oil cap with a built-in dipstick that could also be used to take clean samples. We controlled the influx of abrasive material into the oil, and then we could use a clean clean sampling technique for the bottle itself, which is typically taking a Ziploc lunch bag with a certified bottle inside. With the bottle inside the bag, you remove the cap, you puncture the plastic with your vampire sampler, put your other end down your dipstick sampling port here, and just throw your sample into the bottle, which is protected from the environment. Then you reverse the process. You detach the bottle from your sampler and screw your bottle cap inside the sandwich bag, and you've essentially eliminated its exposure to the environment. Now, this gets a little bit complex here. We're looking at the effects of the contamination. In the upper graph, in the dark blue curve, what we're looking at is the iron content by plasma of one of these oils. You can see we have trends where this wear is continually increasing, then it drops. Every time it drops is when we perform the filtration. Now, even though we have upward trending in every segment of this curve, the magnitude of the numbers remains low. So although we have some wear occurring, it's by no means excessive. It's really not even at a caution level. The magenta curve, like that word magenta, that's our silicon curve, which represents our air inductive abrasives. So you can see we have some correlation between incoming silicon and wear. silicon increases gradually, wear increases gradually, just like the speakers before me spoke about. Now, down below, we have particle counts corresponding to every time we took a sample. You can see these particle counts are really all over the place. The red bars represent larger particle sizes at about 14, 15 micron range. And with our filtration, we were fairly successful at keeping the level of the large particles down. The blue represents the smaller particle sizes, things represented by the 4406, 1986, or 1999 particle count method, particles on the order of 5 or 6 microns. These are the particles that give you problems, abrasive wear, that can cause a lot of damage, premature failure of equipment, excessive abrasive wear. We didn't have very much luck at removing those particles, and that's probably because our locally manufactured filter cart contained elements that were rated at 10 microns as opposed to 5 or 6 microns. This was something that was beyond our control. It was a decision made locally, but we proceeded with the test anyway because we were really managing the oil itself in a real-life situation. So what we tried to do is correlate particle count to our wear trend. And we really don't see good correlation here. But where we did see some correlation was when we took not particle count, but total particles per volume of oil. In other words, number of particles, wear metals, air-inducted abrasive, any sort of solid particle that got into that oil was counted and reported as a number of particles per mil of oil. Now here we see pretty good correlation between particle levels and wear numbers and for the iron. I have another example of the same type of situation. Again, we're doing pretty good on controlling the larger particle sizes, not so good on the smaller particle sizes, and we're seeing the standard sort of the iron wear trend that we had in the last example. Yet our silicon numbers stayed sort of flat, so this may be an actual non-abrasive wear trend. Very difficult to tell. When we looked at the total particles per milliliter of oil, we start to get that correlation back like we did in the first example. So this is an interesting point. Clean oils are critical. But relating oil in an actual oil analysis, relating oil cleanliness by ISO code is very difficult to correlate to a magnitude or an order of wear. Total particle seems to do a fairly nice job of that. So that's what we went with here. This is what we reported to the wheel motor OEMs. Now, when we looked at wear metals, in this case, particularly iron, because it's the primary gear and bearing wear indicator, we use two test methods. One is called the inductively coupled plasma, or ICP, which is probably the method used by the laboratories that you all send oil samples to. You get an oil analysis report back, and it says 100 parts per million of iron. Chances are probably 99% that it was run by this method. The way the method works is the oil is carried on an flow up into the plasma, which is extremely hot. Once the samples get into the plasma, excitation occurs because of the temperature within the plasma. When the atoms become excited, you have along the bottom, you can see we have electrons in their orbitals. When they get excited, those electrons on the inner shells or inner orbitals get knocked out. When they get knocked out, the atom becomes somewhat unstable and it wants to get back to its stable state or its ground state. So that electron that was knocked out comes back into its original position. When it falls back to its original position, it emits light. Now that light is going to be of a wavelength that's specific to the atom in which it took place, and the intensity of it is going to indicate the concentration of that particular material, that particular atom. In this case, we're talking about iron. The plasma really only seeps because of the mechanism of moving the sample from the sample bottle into the plasma to do the analysis is really only good at detecting particles up to about 10 microns maximum. And that's the range of normal rubbing wear. A second type of analysis that we did is called a particle quantity analysis or a particle quantifier, PQA. This determines the magnetic metallic components of the oil's effect on a magnetic field. It looks specifically at iron. You have an iron concentration, you do a PQ analysis, the iron content of the oil distorts that magnetic field, and the machine, the system, assigns an index to it. Now, the good thing about this test method, where the plasma is limited to particles on the 8 to 10 micron order, this test produces a value or an index number regardless of size. It takes into account a particle that's 5 microns or 100 microns. So this is a good way to look at a total iron content of an oil and relate it back to your small particle size. Anything over that 8 to 10 micron particle size is going to be considered abnormal wear. Now, when you're interpreting the data in comparing the ICP to the PQA, if your two methods are fairly equal in concentration, that suggests that you're not generating any abnormal wear metals. Your wear particles are typically smaller, 8 or 10 microns or smaller. And it also suggests that your plasma values are accurate. If your PQA is lower than your ICP, that suggests that you have a higher iron content that for some reason has been exposed to a condition where it loses some of the intensity of its magnetic capabilities. Typically, you see this when you have iron present that's been corroded. Now, if your PQA is higher than your ICP, that strongly suggests that you have an abnormal wear condition going on and you're generating particles that are larger than the 10 micron normal rubbing wear range, and you have some other phenomenon taking place. And it should lead you to do some other sort of non-routine analytical techniques, such as analytical ferrography or something like that, where you can extract particles, look at size and morphology, and possibly detect where they're coming from. Now, during this test, we looked at PQA and ICP for iron on every sample. Now, as I said earlier, the OEM recommended that these oils be changed out at 3,000 hours. The graphs I'm showing you were actually taken at about 3,000 hours in service, and we found that anywhere from 6,000 to 9,000 hours in the oil was performing satisfactorily and no problem arose. So here's one unit where we looked at about a 5,000-hour trend, no oil changes, but we had sampling and filtration, of course. And our iron content, the blue curve, is compared with the PQA, which is the red curve, and they're fairly comparable all along the way. This is suggesting that for this entire trend, no abnormal particles were generated. So all the wear that took place was normal rubbing wear. This is a second type of curve that we saw. And another thing I'm going to point out here is that even though we have these curves and they're plotted out here to appear significant, if you look over, you can actually see the level of iron that's being generated by the plasma analysis. And you're only talking about numbers that are on the order of 40, 50, and 60 parts per million, insignificant service hours, so wear levels are really negligible. I'm showing these to give examples of the type of curves that we saw during this program. What we have here is initially very high PQAs in comparison to the ICP. Now this suggests that we have some sort of large particle generating trend going on here. But you also see it dropping off as we move through the hour. This suggests that initially we had some sort of break-in phenomenon. We had maybe a higher level of wear or some large particle wear taking part early or taking place early in the sequence. But once the gears were broken in, possibly reacted with the extreme pressure chemicals of the oil, you saw that trend tapering off to almost nothing. Now this is a third type of trend we see where the PQ index is consistently higher than our plasma numbers. And again, I have to point out that we're talking about significant differences between the curves, but we're talking about minimal actual concentrations in iron. So although this example shows the difference between normal rubbing wear and abnormal wear, the level of metals is actually very low. But you can see throughout the course of 5,000 hours that PQ index, or PQA, tends to climb higher than the ICP. Now, when we ran this test in Australia, it actually took us 4 years to run this test from start to finish. We had to find a location. That took a year. People are not really willing to have you sort of take the chance of interrupting their production on very expensive equipment. So it took us a year to find a mine that was willing to support us in this effort. Then we had to go to the OEM and have our location okayed. They had to approve the location based on various hall parameters. And then we were supposed to run a 12-month test, and we actually ran a 24-month test. The numbers that you saw in the graphs that I showed up to this point were 5,000 hours, approximately 1 year of service. What we're looking at here is the sun pinion diameter over pins for the two full years. The red line is the OEM limit. You can't exceed that amount of wear. The blue bars are the actual wear that we measured during that or after that 2 year period. So the oil performance was significantly below the OEM acceptable limit. And in conclusion, I think there's a couple of things that we can say here. Gear wear can be minimized in electric wheel motors or mid-range size haul truck using a quality synthetic gear oil. I think General Electric, who is the OEM that we were working with, actually went in this direction because they had proven this to be a fact. This just substantiates the work that they did. Solid contamination has an impact on wear metals and wear trends, and the degree of severity of the impact may be controllable based on the degree of service provided to the units. That sounds like a very convoluted thing, but it's basically just saying that if you have solid contaminants coming into the oil, there's a really good chance that you're going to have some sort of detrimental effect to the bearings and the gears of the unit. However, if it provides services such as oil analysis to detect these problems so that you can take action to resolve them or do periodic filtration, maybe more frequently than what the OEM recommends, you can solve these problems. And thirdly, increasing wear metal and contamination cycles seen in oil analysis data may not correspond with the actual gear condition seen during diameter over pins measurements and general inspections of the teeth. So in every example we gave, we had some sort of increasing trend in wear metals, whether it was PQA or ICP. We saw a tendency to generate repeatedly in cycles some amount of iron. And this was coming from gears or bearings. However, when you do the physical inspection of the gears, inspection condition of the surfaces was fantastic. No pitting, no micro pitting. Diameter of pins of all the sun pinions were all exceptionally low, meaning that you may see in analysis some trending, but it's really doesn't substitute for actually getting in and periodically inspecting the units on some regular basis. Oil analysis helps you to determine when something might be happening, but unless you do extremely sophisticated analysis, it really doesn't tell you exactly what's going on. You really do have to do a hands-on inspection. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Don.